Good morning. My name is Kayla, and I will be your conference operator today. At this time, I would like to welcome everyone to the Littler's Workplace Policy Institute conference call. All lines have been placed on mute to prevent any background noise. If you should need assistance during the call, please press star then zero, and an operator will come back on the line to assist you. Thank you. Michael, you may begin your conference.
Thank you. Good morning, everyone. Welcome to this morning's Insider Briefing Call. My name is Michael Lehman, manager of Littler's Workplace Policy Institute here in Washington, D.C. I hope everyone is having a happy Columbus Day morning, and thank you, everyone, for joining us on this federal holiday. In July, President Obama signed the Fair Pay and Safe Workplaces Executive Order that may dramatically increase requirements for employers that enter into contracts with the federal government. And we're very pleased that with us this morning to discuss this so-called blacklisting executive order, our special guest is Linda Jackson, shareholder in Littler's Washington, D.C. and Northern Virginia offices, and co-chair of our brand new government contractors industry group here at the firm. Linda is a first-chair trial attorney with significant experience representing clients before federal, state, and appellate courts, as well as before administrative agencies and in arbitration settings. Linda has represented clients in industries such as government contracting, and she previously served as a major in the U.S. Air Force Judge Advocate General Reserve Corps, so we're very pleased she could join us this morning. Linda, welcome to the Insider Briefing Call.
Thank you very much. Glad to be here.
Absolutely. Well, thank you. And so, Linda, first, please tell us how this executive order might change the bidding and procurement process for employers competing in the federal market.
Well, Michael, the executive order, which, as you said, was issued in July, is really quite sweeping. The concept, as articulated by the White House, is, in essence, to, in their words, crack down on federal contractors who put workers' safety and hard-earned pay at risk. And what that means is that for federal contracts that are worth more than $500,000, bidders will be required to disclose any labor law violation that they've experienced over the preceding 3 years. So what does that mean? The executive order identifies and lists over 14 statutes that could be at issue. And so labor law violations in this context is really rather broadly defined. It includes wage statutes like the Fair Labor Standards Act. It includes leave statutes like the FMLA. It includes OSHA, discrimination statutes like Title VII, the Age Discrimination and Employment Act, the Americans with Disabilities Act, as well as their state law equivalents. So it is quite encompassing, and how this translates to the procurement process is yet to be seen. But the executive order requires agencies to designate a senior official as a labor compliance advisor to provide guidance on whether contractors' disclosed actions might rise to the level of a lack of integrity or business ethics in the decision process for new contracts. So in essence, as companies are bidding for contracts, there will be a mechanism by which they will need to report violations or adjudications for the last 3 years for these various labor and employment laws. The Federal Acquisition Regulation Council and the Secretary of Labor are being tasked with developing guidelines for developing or determining what types of labor law violations will be deemed to adversely impact contractors' responsibility determinations. And the GSA will create a new website where the contractors will post the reports required by the executive order. So this means that the agencies, in some shape or form, and for the first time, will be evaluating administrative merits determinations, arbitration awards or decisions, and civil judgments to determine whether they reflect serious, repeated, willful, or pervasive violations. And that is really where the term blacklisting has come from, which is that once these disclosures are made, there's a process being put in place whereby they are on the front line of what the decision makers are looking at in terms of whether there should be an award to this contractor or not.
Very helpful, Linda. Thank you. So you referred to the blacklisting term, and that's been the shorthand, perhaps, that some have referred to this executive order as. And is that a precise way to refer to this executive order? Will the executive order lead to employers with certain violations being, in effect, quote-unquote, blacklisted from winning federal contracts?
I mean, it could very well, and it will certainly make it harder for some companies to win contracting bids. You know, what the White House is trying to accomplish here, as they say, is stricter and better compliance with these laws. And it is using the contracting process as a mechanism to achieve that goal. Look, the order basically instructs federal agencies to consider these past violations when awarding these contracts. And the reality seems to be that some with past violations, some contractors with past violations, might be denied contracts because of them. There is some directive in the executive order that these agencies can provide remedial feedback or feedback as to how certain companies can improve their record, do better on compliance and those sorts of things. But as the executive order is currently drafted, it certainly could have the effect of precluding some contractors from winning contracts.
Okay. And this executive order can't be considered in a vacuum, of course, Linda. So can you tell us, please, about the regulatory landscape that federal contractors are facing right now?
Well, it's quite a tough one, Michael. The White House has issued several executive orders this year directly impacting government contractors. And it's, you know, time will tell, you know, whether we're going to be seeing more or not. But the White House seems to be trying to do through its executive orders for government contractors what perhaps it can't quite accomplish yet in Congress. And so just this year alone, we've seen, for instance, an increase in the minimum wage to $10.10 for government contractors, effective the 1st of January 2015. We've seen an executive order to prohibit retaliation against employees for disclosing their compensation. You know, that's an interesting order in and of itself from an enforcement perspective. A lot of employers, for very good reasons, ask their employees to treat their compensation as confidential. And this executive order, in essence, makes it unlawful to discipline an employee who is talking about compensation and frankly, is looking to make that discourse a more public and more transparent. And the purpose of that is it's aiming toward workplace parity in compensation. And some of these executive orders are directed at putting some sunshine, if you will, on companies' compensation policies and what compensation is for different folks. Another executive order deals with that same issue, which is that it's requiring contractors to submit summary compensation data to the Department of Labor, including data by sex and race, as part of a pay equality initiative. Another executive order prohibits sexual orientation discrimination or discrimination on the basis of gender identity. The White House is also looking for the agencies to look more closely at FLSA issues and definitions of independent contractors and joint employers and those sorts of things. And so there's an awful lot going on this past year that directly impacts government contractors. And frankly, it's a lot to keep up with and is imposing, frankly, a layer of very complex regulations that could be quite a challenge going forward to manage and certainly to be aware of.
An awful lot indeed. Thank you for helping us with it this morning, Linda. And to be clear, the executive order is not effective law yet, so the Department of Labor will be needing to publish regulations outlining the requirements. But is there anything federal contractors should be doing now while we wait for DOL to publish regs?
Well, you know, certainly we know this is coming in some shape or form. We think that it'll be in place in 2016. And so from a nuts and bolts perspective, you know, look, it's a good idea for contractors to start thinking about their internal tracking mechanisms for complaints and violations. We would want to avoid certainly any inaccurate reporting in the procurement process. So having a system where you can track the complaints and you can track the outcomes, you can track whether or not an outcome fits into a category that would be required reporting during the procurement process would be incredibly important. We all know how critical it is that in the procurement process, information that is disclosed and reported to the government be accurate. So that's one thing for companies to start thinking about, is what are their internal tracking mechanisms, and is there anything they can start doing now to ensure that they are accurate and can handle the types of complaints and adjudications for each of these different statutes, particularly for the state statutes, which I think could be quite cumbersome and a bit complex for companies to track. And then, of course, compliance itself. And so this may be a good time, frankly, for contractors to do some self-assessment, perhaps some independent internal audits of how the company is doing in various areas, perhaps identify areas within the company or within certain categories of compliance, whether it be wage and hour or what have you, and introduce some additional training and strengthen their internal processes and the like. So that if, for instance, a company notes that perhaps they have had a number of adjudications over the last couple of years, they can start taking a look at that and see whether there's anything that can be done now and proactively to help improve that record going forward. Now, as the executive order makes its way through the rules process, there may also be value in voicing any concerns or suggestions as to how it might be implemented. Toward that end, the White House, as you know, Michael, has held a series of listening sessions on the executive order. The most recent session, I believe, was on Friday, which you attended, Michael. Is that right? And if so, could you tell us a bit about that?
Sure, Linda. Well, yes, I was able to represent in my capacity as Littler's Workplace Policy Institute manager. I was able to attend the White House listening session on Friday on behalf of our friends at the International Franchise Association. And this was a listening session on the executive order with major association representatives. It was the fourth in a series of listening sessions on the executive order designed to hear the issues and concerns of stakeholder groups. The meeting was hosted by Secretary of Labor Thomas Perez and the Director of the White House Domestic Policy Council, Cecilia Munoz. So it was there were a lot of deep concerns about the impact on the procurement process and how this will affect employers and government contractors at the meeting. Certainly some divergent opinions were shared, but the Secretary of Labor, all in all, said the goal of the meeting was to have an open and frank dialogue. So we certainly appreciated the invitation and being able to participate in the meeting. So there continues to be no timetable for the department to issue regs, but that's the update to the minute. So that was on Friday, as you mentioned, Linda. So finally, Linda, would you please tell us about Littler's new government contractors industry group and what Littler can do for employers that serve the federal market?
Sure, I'd be happy to. Thanks, Michael. Littler has been serving government contractors for a long time and presently represent about 75 of the 100 largest contractors in the country, as well as government contractors of all sizes. And given the increasing complexity of operating as a government contractor, frankly, we thought it made sense to group our subject matter experts who are well acquainted with the nuances of operating in this field, and particularly at this time. So our experts address all labor and employment issues that touch government contractors: OFCCP, the Davis-Bacon Act, the McNamara-O'Hara Service Contracts Act. We have subject matter experts that deal with issues that come up in the course of competition and procurement, like trade secret and non-compete issues. Our experts address whistleblower issues under the False Claims Act and Sarbanes-Oxley, which now applies to the private subcontractors of public companies per the Supreme Court's Lawson decision late last year. as well as issues providing input to laws and regulations that impact government contractors, as you just noted, Michael, by the work of WPI, testifying before Congress, participating in meetings and hearings held by executive agencies in the White House, and providing comments on proposed regulations. So the group will periodically publish white papers on issues of importance as they arise, coordinate webinars, roundtable discussions on issues of importance, and make sure that we are providing value and insight to our clients and folks who are interested through the value of our collective expertise over the years. So if there is anyone on the call who would like to be on our email list, please let me or Michael know, and we'd be happy to provide our insights and keep you updated on what's going on in the industry as it occurs.
Indeed. Well, Linda, you've shed tremendous light on everything coming at federal contractors right now, and we thank you for all your help this morning and for joining us on this morning's Insider Briefing.
Absolutely. My pleasure. Thank you, Michael.
You got it. Thank you to Linda Jackson, and thank you to everyone for joining today's Insider Briefing. Again, if you have any questions about this so-called Fair Pay and Safe Workplaces Executive Order, you can contact Linda Jackson or contact me, and you can be connected to a subject matter expert, certainly like Linda here at Littler. And, of course, Linda invited all of us to contact her to be on the government Contractors Industry Group email list. So thank you, everyone, again for joining us on this federal holiday. We'll hope you can join us again for next Monday's Insider Briefing. And until then, have a great week, everyone.
Thank you. This concludes today's conference. You may all disconnect.